Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus. It's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Hey, it's the Growing in Grace podcast once again, our weekly get-together. Glad you're with us. Tell a friend about us. Don't forget our archive programs, growingingrace.org. They're all listed there. And of course, you'll find us on a variety of podcasting apps as well. I'm Mike Kapler. And with me, the guy who once had a staring contest with the sun and won, Joel Brizeke.
That poor sun. I'm telling you, it didn't stand a chance.
So many people get burned when they try to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I
talk
won.
Talk about walking by sight and not by faith.
I mean, I can't walk by sight anymore. But at least I won. I kept looking that direction, that general direction. I couldn't see anymore, but the sun turned away. Well, you know, the sun kept moving.
No, you know, I came up with a new phrase, Joel. I haven't posted it yet. But, in fact, I don't want to mess it up. So I'm pulling it up in real time, and here it is. Here's how it starts out. The gospel is really quite simple. Unfortunately, ditch-digging, white cane theologians have seduced the most popular denominational brands into mixing small portions of a weak and outdated covenant with another that is better and very different. Anyway, I thought that was kind of funny because, you know, Jesus talked about the blind leading the blind.
Right.
White cane theologians. What do you think?
It's too deep for me. That's too deep. I can't handle all that.
Ditches can be deep. You get stuck in those things. You can't get out.
I can't handle all that wisdom.
Anyway, I like it when I get something fresh that's kind of got a little pithiness to
it. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, pithy is good. I mean, when you can pack a lot into just a short little saying, that's good.
Which I'm not good at.
Yeah, I'm not good at that either. There are people who are really good at that stuff, and I'm like, I wish I could be
summarizing
like that.
Things. When there's nothing left to be said, I'm usually still saying it.
Well, there's nothing left to be said. I'm still thinking about it, and then like a week later, then I'll have, I should have said that. Or, you know, sometimes even an hour later, I'm in a conversation with somebody, and then if I would have just said that.
I know. That's the danger with writing a book.
Right. Yeah. You say what you say, and then, well, I could have said that there. I could have said that there.
Yeah.
Same with our podcast, except we can go.
There are people who will go back and edit the book.
Yeah.
Because I had it all wrong. Anyway.
Well, with the podcast, if we left something out, we can bring it up the next week.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Although it may be too late by then.
Or later, yeah.
People might not listen to the next
right.
one.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But speaking of doing the podcast and talking about the grace of God and the way that we have all these years and others out there doing the same, and we're rooting for you, by the way, something that concerns especially those who have traces of legalism that they've been brought up in. They've been told that grace can be a dangerous thing, that it can, you know, people get hyper about it, and then there's no balance between doing and being. There's just concerns that it will lead to more sinning. Grace sometimes can give people a license to sin. How many times have people heard that in church circles before? And it's really all just made up. Having said that, we did get a letter from somebody recently who has somebody that they're close to who has gone through a lot of struggles, and they wrote, it was a very long letter. Okay, I'm not going to read any of it, but I think it's a subject that that's worth touching on and trying to address here on our Growing in Grace podcast. Okay, so because the point they were trying to make is, and they weren't really accusing us, but they were saying that this person that they know, they started going through a lot of struggles, marital problems, substance problems, and probably a whole variety of other things. And it all coincided around the time that they started hearing the grace message including maybe even our podcast, my book, other things that are out there, other teachers that talk about grace that if I mentioned their name, you would know them. And so this has been a real struggle for years for them. And so there's concerns out there. Well, was the grace message the problem? You know, in my book, Joel, I've had a few quotes from my book lately, and it's not a new book, Clash of the Covenants. It's been out for quite a few years now, and yet people are still buying the doggone thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's good. That's a good thing.
It's like the podcast. It's word of mouth. But if you give me a second here to just, I think this makes a point, and then I'll get this over to you. Here's how it goes. Those embedded with a legalistic point of view can't get past their concern that too much grace talk will give people a license to sin. Of course, there is no specific license that is issued, not by grace or anything else. People will somehow manage to sin rather effortlessly without the need of a license. A license to sin is a fabrication born from a legalistic gospel of confusion, and it does not exist. In the land of the legal, they have this entire license thing backwards. A license gives you the right or permission to do something. As we saw in Titus, grace does not advocate doing what is wrong. Grace inspires something more significant than duty or obligation. It inspires love, which motivates a sincere desire to contribute for the good and the giving of ourselves. The fear that grace gives too much freedom to make wrong choices is a false accusation and a myth. We are free to make right and wrong choices, but don't blame grace just because someone got carried away by their own lust and fleshly thinking. You know, Joel, that was from Clash of the Covenants. Joel, the blame game with grace, it's like blaming Jesus, who is grace, you know? Having said that, I understand that people who have been brought up in a culture, a Christian culture of fear and doing, a fear of hell, a fear of wondering if God is going to be angry with them if they don't abide by a certain set of standards, a fear of not being blessed by God, a fear of being cut off by God, and then they hear this grace message. there are people out there who are going to end up... not because, well, they're going to end up maybe in a bad place because they haven't really understood the message of God's love and the righteousness that they have become in Him. Many of us who have heard this message began to realize that we couldn't attain this perfect standard with God based on what we did because it wasn't consistent enough. And we were always in a place of wondering if I was doing enough. That was me. And then when I came to grace, yes, in the beginning, I will admit, are you telling me that I was living in fear for nothing? You mean I could go out and do X, Y, and Z and get away with it? That was going through my mind. But once I began to understand with the help of the Spirit, I began to understand that having become His righteousness, having become holy, having become sanctified and perfected as a gift, as a forgiven individual, I could now begin to live in that identity as God worked in and through me instead of me just trying to work for Him. And I want to get your thoughts on this too, because I know it can be a struggle out there for people who are still enticed to go out and want to sin. They think that is something that is, they really don't want to do that. They're just being drawn away, as I mentioned, by lust. It might look good. Sometimes the fruit looks good on the outside until you bite into it, right? The plastic fruit, it's not very good. And so I feel for people who have this struggle, but compared to what I was going through many years ago, I've been set free from that. And hopefully our listeners can relate to the challenge with this. But being able to cross the bridge to where you aren't struggling with it as much as you were before. Am I making any sense here, Joel?
Well, I don't know. At first, you had some really good pithy sayings in there, but then you started. No, I'm just kidding. You that does make a lot of sense. And I think that's the difference between sometimes what you're saying there is the difference between sometimes what people think we're saying and what we're actually saying. And I know that Paul dealt with that too. Just looking in Romans 3:8, he says, "And why not say, let us do evil that good may come, as we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say." So people back in Paul's day were accusing Paul of saying, "Let us do evil that good may come." They were accusing Paul of saying it's okay to sin, basically, to put it in a different way. And he said that's slander. They were affirming that he said that, but that's not what he was saying at all. In fact, in his letter to Titus, he said, "The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us. This is what grace does, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age." And that's, that we do encourage that on our podcast many times. We have said that, of course, doing bad is bad. Doing evil is evil. It's not good. We encourage people to turn 180 degrees away from any sinful type of things that they're involved in. And Paul says good works are beneficial. Good works are good. So we encourage people to walk in good works. That's what grace does. And at the same time, as we've talked about many times, there's no timetable, there's no expectations, there's no like you must do this or else. It's not about that. It's just that over the course of a lifetime, that's what grace teaches us to do. Grace isn't just, forgiveness for sins. It's wonderful that in God's mercy and in His grace, He provided the forgiveness of sins. All of our sins from start to finish have been completely done away with, taken out of the way, buried deep within the sea, never to ever to ever to be brought up again. They're gone. They're gone forever. And God does not charge us with sin. He does not remember our sins. He doesn't bring them up and all that stuff. But of course, it's just not good. But some people will hear us and they'll think that, we're talking about all this freedom that we have in Christ and the love of God and the grace of God. And so, well, you're just saying that people can just go out and do whatever they want. But like one thing that you were saying there is that, along with what you were saying, is that what is it that people want? If you're in Christ, you've become a new creation, you have a brand new life. And I think the reason why people struggle with the things that they do, is because they really don't want to do them. They find themselves doing things that they don't want to do because that's not their identity. It's not like you love sin. I mean, I've heard this in the legalistic church. Well, the only reason you're doing that is because you love sin. No, you don't love sin, and you know that you don't love sin. But there's this thing called the flesh, and sometimes we walk after it. But when we grow in the love and the grace of God, again, over the course of a lifetime, not instantaneously, and it's going to be different for everybody, then maybe you can begin to see the hope that is found in the freedom of Jesus Christ, where you understand that you have been made a righteous person. You have been made holy. And here's another beautiful thing. You have been set apart to God. He loves you so much, and He has such a just an adoration of you that He set you apart for Himself. And a lot of people don't understand that. They don't see that about themselves. And if you don't really see that and grow in that, then you'll think that when you have a fleshly thought or desire, an ungodly thought or desire, you'll think that that's who you are, so you're just going to go do it. And especially when the church is teaching you that you have a wicked and deceitful heart, and yet they tell you to turn from sin, well, that's a conflicting message. But if you can see how much you are adored by God and how much He loves you and has set you apart for Himself, you are His, you belong to Him, and that's a good thing. He's your Father. He's your friend. Jesus has called you a friend. And when you see that, some of the things of this world, it's like the song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of earth will go strangely dim." Again, we're all going to be in a different place with this. There's no timetable, no expectations. We're not going to tell you that you have to have some visible change in your life or else you're not accepted by God or there's something wrong, but you get to know the love of God and His grace, and some things will transform without you really having to struggle to make it happen. And I don't know, am I making any sense?
Well, only the listeners know if we're making any sense. But no, I hear exactly where you're coming from. And I hope our listeners do too, because, you know, sometimes people hear what they want to hear. They filter it through however they want to. Mm-hmm. But over and over and over again, in spite of all the great grace talk that we've done over the years here, explaining to people how they've been freed with the help of the cross and the blood and the unconditional love of God, that it was all based on Him. And in spite of all the great grace talk, over and over again, we've said, stay away from sin. It's not good for you. It's not part of who you are. Avoid it at every opportunity, because when people dive off the wrong board and into the pool that has no water in it, oh, I forgot to check to see if there's water in here. I think I'll dive off this sinful board here, and they take a dive. Their life is probably, including related to this letter we received that I mentioned earlier, their life is not better.
Right. It has consequences.
Their life here on earth is not better because of the choices they made to go out and make some dubious choices, shall we say, mm-hmm. That has hurt them and those around them. I've said that for years. Sin will hurt you, and it will hurt those around you in this life, and you'll reap the results of that in this life. Of course sin was taken away. Of course we received forgiveness from God. Of course God is not demanding a certain level of expectation in order for us to secure an eternity. That just can't be done. That's why there was a Savior. But we still encourage you to understand that this love that God has for you, hopefully, you know, again, sometimes people just don't understand it, or they think they're hearing us say something we didn't say. And so I want to encourage people out there to really seek God on that, because it's important, because the truths that we talk about here about grace are important. This finished work of Jesus that we talk about, it's important. And, you know, this license of to sin thing, it's nothing to do with grace. As I mentioned recently, if you want to point to a license to sin as prescribed in the Bible, then people who misunderstand 1 John 1:9 and think that they have to confess every sin in order to be forgiven again and again, that would be more like a license to sin,
right?
Because people are just thinking, well, I think I'll make a decision, and I think I'll make the wrong one because I know I can always fall back on 1 John 1:9. Yeah. And so that's just silly. I mean, we are forgiven in Him, and it isn't based upon what we do and don't do at all. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But I still want to encourage people out there. There are still right and wrong decisions, good and bad decisions that you can make that can affect you, and not necessarily in a good way when you make the wrong choices. You can still make wrong choices. It's not going to change what Jesus did for you. The blood of Jesus is stronger than that when it comes to an eternal redemption. But at the same time, I hope that people, when they hear this message of the gospel, that by the Spirit of God will begin to walk in His life in a way that will bring improvement for your time left here on earth. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, and just to reiterate what you're saying there, it's not so much, you know, people ask, well, can I do this or can't I do that when I'm in Christ? Is this a sin or is that a sin? I mean, this sometimes comes out of this. The real thing is this the life of Christ in you, or is this not the life of Christ in you? And also just on that idea of consequences, you know, we are actually free to make choices. We are free in Christ to make choices, and we need to realize there are consequences for the things that we do, whether good or bad, in this earth, like you were saying, in this life. there will be consequences for the things that we do. It's going to vary from person to person, from situation to situation, but the things that we do have consequences. And that's not a warning. You know, that's not a, well, so there's going to be consequences. It's just reality.
Yeah, that's what Paul said. Not all things are going to be profitable.
Right.
Even if all things are lawful, you know, play it smart.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.